The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 574. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez. You're muted.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Yeah. Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Joining us right in the nick of time, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. Oh, what's up, everybody? And Brian Mangioma.
What a week.
It's been an interesting one for sure. And that's just if you cover Apple news. Oh, man, your boy's tired, bro. But we got to talk about these video games, man. And yes, it was a week. And the first story we're going to talk about literally happened today, bro. You know, it's not the power of the X anymore. It's the power of the Helix. How would you even like do that with your hands? You know, like, I don't know. Oh, man. Yeah. For you guys listening, me and Manny are trying in vain to make a Helix a symbol, but it's like we may have to break bones. I don't know. But yes, this afternoon, Miss Asha Sharma posted on the socials that the new Xbox is in development, and it's called Project Helix, and there's promise that we're going to hear more about it next week. I wonder what's happening next week. A little convention, I guess you call it convention, right? It's a conference, actually. A game developing conference, even.
Yes.
You know? Mm. So I'm assuming we're going to hear some bits from what we've heard before, because, you know, obviously, we've heard about a new Xbox for a little while now, is that we'll get a fuller reveal later this year, probably at the Game Awards, like they did last time. Remember that? We did that right here on Throwdown Live, you know? You know, we shout out to Taylor Live. She was on that. Everybody was like, oh, shit, it's on an Xbox! You know? So let's, here's what Miss Sharma said. Should I call her Miss or Mrs.? Like, she's married. She got kids, bro. You know?
I mean, you could call her Ms., which is either, you know, yeah, married or not married.
The Ms.
Ms.
The Ms.
Yeah. Anyway, she goes, Project Helix will lead in performance and play. Oh, excuse me. Will lead in performance and play your Xbox and PC games. Very interesting. She goes, I'm looking forward. Okay, so the GDC thing's not even a rumor. Looking forward to chatting about this more with partners and studios at my first GDC next week. Well, there you go. And that didn't look like it was written by AI, so good on her. So, yeah, what do we think of this? I mean, again, there wasn't a lot. We just got a fucking... Okay, Carlos, what car logo does this remind me of? Yeah, it's not a guess. Like, BMW? Answer it for me. I guess it's a BMW. It's like, I'm like, every time I look at it, it looks like something you put on the hub of a car. You know, like a fancy car, yeah. You know?
Mm. A European car.
You know, a nice European car. She also promises the return of Xbox, whatever that means. But yeah, this sounds like the machine we've been hearing, you know, rumors about for a while, that is going to be like a console PC hybrid. It's going to play your Steam games. I mean, there you go. She pretty much said it right there. So what do we think?
I mean, it definitely does look like a car logo, like it goes at the front of the bumper or something.
Mm-hmm.
This obviously Sharma just got in to this position. So this has been a long time coming for Xbox. Ever since they started working with AMD on their new partnership,
yeah,
which they mentioned, you know, was it a year ago or 2 years ago now?
Something like that. Yeah. You're right. They did mention that explicitly.
Yeah. So they talked about how they're partnering up for the next console. Or the next system, maybe not even console, yeah. But it's in due time. I'm pretty sure we're going to get the announcement this year. I don't think it'll be towards the end of the year like last time. Last generation, it was, like you mentioned, Tony, it was at the end of the Video Game Awards, if I recall.
Yeah,
it was the Jeff Keighley show. Is it going to be during that time this year? Maybe not. Maybe we'll get something even earlier. As far as what to expect, it's going to be expensive. Oh, I'll just tell you that. This is going to be an expensive machine. And just be ready because it's going to be Windows for those that are looking forward to it. But I'm looking forward to the announcement because this is Microsoft sort of, you know, going, they went through that fork in the road and they took the direction. It's not going to be the console direction.
Yeah.
It's going to be the PC one. So I'm just here for everything that's going to come with it, all the discourse and everything. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, it's going to be expensive if it's supposed to be more like a PC. And I do think it'll have that new Xbox UI for the handhelds. Or it could be Xbox, you know, UI proper, right? But I think, it'll be some version of that, I think. Because what I think they want to do is make it so, you know, like, the Asus Xbox Ally, which I'm pretty sure will still be around, you could seamlessly move back and forth between the console and the PC. You know, I think that's what's going to happen. So they want to have one unified UI for that. But yeah, I'm curious to see what it is. I want to get the specs and all that. Let's do a check in here. Rich, are you around now, man?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. And now my question to you is, are you ready to sell? Are you ready to sell your PlayStation to put a down payment on this new Xbox?
Absolutely not. No way in hell that's happening. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Discord, I guess they decided you need to update a whole bunch of things.
Of course.
That's what happened.
But, yeah. In other words, Rich, Discord was being Discord.
Yes.
In other words, Rich, it's a Thursday.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. But yeah, go ahead. What are your thoughts on this thing? Or the announcement, I should say.
Well, I think it's very interesting that they went on ahead and made this announcement. I know that Sarah Bond had said they were working on the next console before she left the company. So I guess they wanted to reinforce, because again, Miss Hear You keeps saying, yes, Xbox is back. We're bringing Xbox back. And then, of course, she makes this announcement because, again, they want to continue to have a positive perception. You know, I know she has gotten on. Well, a lot of people are paying attention to what she has been writing or what somebody has been writing on that account. So they want to try to make everything look positive. Yes, we are working on this system and look forward to it. But I mean, I don't really know what I mean, obviously, looking at new tech, new hardware, there's always some interest. But I'm not necessarily excited about this because what the hell games are going to be on there that's not going to be on PlayStation and any other platforms? So
that's a good point. Yeah. What about your PC games, though, man?
Oh, well, yeah, PC. Absolutely. I am going to have to upgrade this PC, but I don't know if I'm going to be getting that one if it's going to cost $1,500 and up.
Fuck.
You know, 12. Yeah. If it's expensive like that, no, I don't think so. We have to wait and see.
Yeah. Brian, what are your thoughts, man?
Well, we knew that this type of stuff was going to happen eventually, because again, we had the news, was last week or the week before, that there was a chance that the PS6 was not coming out for another year because of stuff. So it was getting to the point where next gen consoles would be discussed. So yeah, let's see what happens. Let's see what it can or can't do. Again, I will hold any full comments when I actually see what it does and how much power it has and pricing, because that's most important thing. And also, well, second most important thing, the most important thing is what games are coming out on launch.
They're not going to be exclusive, so I'll tell you that.
very strong chance there won't be. So once I know that, then I'll give my full thoughts. But until then, it's literally just, again, it's as impactful, well, I say as impactful, it's as meaningful as releasing a logo. It's like, okay, cool, but what's next? Let's see.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a roadmap somewhere in the Microsoft drafts, you know, just waiting to be unleashed to the world.
You know, it's kind of interesting how they kind of go with these, like, go ahead.
Can you say something, like, really quick about roadmaps?
Yes.
There are some companies that put out roadmaps that were lies.
You mean like Xbox?
Certain games that hit a very high point and fail to guard themselves against anything
Excuse else. Me? Oh, man. Forgot what I was going to say. But yeah, the price point is the thing that most people are talking about. So we're going to have to see, because again, this is probably going to drop. Oh, by the way, I should say this real quick. I was right. Hip hop gamer style. Right? Actually, more to hip hop gamer style, right? Because I flat out said it. I said this system would come out before the PlayStation 6. Next year, I think this will probably drop November 2027. And with the PS6, 2028. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's going to happen.
I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, we definitely know that Microsoft is not going to delay for anything.
No.
Because they want to get the head start. And also, they're doing the PC model. Mm-hmm. And PlayStation is selling, it's still selling like crazy.
Yeah.
It's almost outselling the Switch too.
Yeah. We're going to talk about PlayStation in a bit. But yeah, the thing I wanted to talk about is, like, I'm curious to see if the tariff situation and the RAM crisis will have at least cooled down by the end of 2027, you know? Because maybe this thing won't have to be, it's going to be expensive regardless. Like, even under normal circumstances, it was going to be expensive, but it could be more expensive than it needs to be, you know?
Yeah.
By the way,
go ahead. But, and real quick, it's not even just the RAM, it's the GPUs, it's the storage. Everything is going up in price.
Everything, man. I was just gonna make a stupid quick aside. I'm like, I you know, when I was talking about the release dates and stuff, I just had this surreal moment. I'm like, bro, I'm talking about the year 2027 and it's next year. Remember when you were a fucking kid? Stories took place in that year and there were robots and shit, you know? Instead we got like a companion bot on your phone.
I mean, not even, I mean, 2027, remember, 2012 was the thing.
Yeah, it was.
Like, oh, shit, 2012. When that comes.
The fucking Mayan, son. You know, now we're 12 years after Back to the Future 2, bro. 12 years.
Yep.
Actually, no, excuse me.
Yo, man.
We will be 12 years ahead. We are 11 years ahead of Back to the Future 2 now, you know?
In a couple of months, we're going to reach the same time that the latest Resident Evil game came showed up.
September, you know.
October.
Yeah, October.
Oh, September, right. Not in October.
You're right. Man, you're right. We will talk about Resident Evil, you know. That's the thing I wanted to say that I forgot. I find it interesting how Xbox keeps using these logos for their projects that they never use. Like, Xbox Series X didn't use the Scorpio logo in the end, you know? And whatever the other project was before that for the Xbox One, they didn't use that logo, so they're not going to use this Mitsubishi thing or whatever the fuck, Mercedes-Benz, you know?
The Acura logo.
The Acura. One thing I like doing, because, you know, all the people that were using that, the Scorpio symbol, they're stupid, right? So, you know, the Scorpio symbol looks like an M, right? So I would always write the letter, you know, Scorpio symbol, orons, these morons. Oh, man. Those were fun times, man. Making fun of Xbox, you know? I don't do that anymore. People on Twitter are too fucking nasty now, bro. Even for me.
They'll come after you, man.
Man, the other day, I just tweeted out that I said, I think Paramount buying Warner Brothers is better than Netflix. I'm like, yeah, I'm not happy with it, but I'd rather have them. Ooh, they came after your boy. They came after your boy. I'm like, for this, really? You know? What the fuck is wrong with you people? Everything gets you angry. Even dumb shit that doesn't matter. You know? All right. But Trump. Oh, here we go. Here we go. You know? But anyway. Project Helix, we will have an eye on for you, and we're looking forward to seeing Ms. Sharma give her a speech at a GDC. You know, be very interesting. Barry Burton says announce Helix has 16 gigs of GDDR7 VRAM and blow Steambox out of the water. It's their only play. That's interesting. Who else had Rand on Xbox 2? Was talking about people blocking people over M sign. I did. It got to a point where, like, I have to block these fucking people. And it made it very easy, you know? Those were still the good days when you get death threats and shit. By the way, Randall Thor is still doing Xbox 2. I didn't realize that podcast was still around. You know, good on him.
Is that the one he did with Jez?
Yeah, I guess, because I just assumed Jez is just doing his own thing now, you know? Yeah, it's still around. All right, good on them. All right, moving on here. Speaking about PC games. Okay, so last week we reported on, it wasn't a rumor, but it was like a report from Mr. Jason Schreier that PlayStation was considering moving away from PC games, specifically their single player games. And he did a follow-up report to pretty much say, yep, this is happening, right? And apparently the reason is that their games don't sell very well on PC, right? Like Spider-Man 2 sold, I might be a little off on this number, but not a lot. Like I might be off by a million or two. It sold like 15 million on PlayStation 5 alone and then 700,000 on PC, right? So Sony's like, okay, you know what? We're going to dump our single-player games on console, multiplayer, and everything else, right? But the thing they're not telling you is, because we got a little bit of a counter here. I'll weave this in real quick. Capcom, on the other hand, they said 50% of their game sales are on PC. What isn't Sony telling you? You know why their PC games don't sell that well? It's because they release them a fucking year after the fact.
Capcom, they're not day and date.
They're not day and date. Capcom sells their shit day and date. That's the key. You know, but that's the reasoning they're using. But as I said last time when we reported on this, my theory is that they're like, wait, this ties back with the Xbox. Wait, the Xbox is going to have Steam? Our games are going to be on that shit? Nope. Nope. We're cutting that shit right now. That's my theory. You know, I don't even think it's not even a conspiracy theory. I think it's just a legitimate, guess at this point. You know, they see that not only back when I said this on, I believe it was on Sunday, I said they're looking at the Steam machine and going, we don't want our games there. But now it's double. They don't want the Steam machine and the fucking new Xbox. Like, nope, we're good. Because at the end of the day, what makes Sony the most amount of money? PlayStation. They don't want to fuck that up, you know?
Yep.
Granted, at this point for PlayStation, they are making more money off software just because the console's already sold, but the console's selling very, very well, you know? So I think that's what the theory is. They're like, yo, no more of this. We can't give our competition our fucking games.
And then also the thing about it is it's like, then you're also putting out, you theoretically would also be putting out a superior version of it if we're putting it on the PC compared to your PlayStation.
Yes, yes.
So that's it's like, no, we like, I get it that they're doing it after the fact, so it's like it's not competing it with itself. But then they're not getting the numbers they want with it because they can't because they don't want to do day and date. Their titles.
Yeah, no, I didn't think about that, but you're 100% right because again the rumors are saying, and I believe it, that the next Xbox is going to be more powerful than the PS6, right? So Sony's not going to want to have one of their games looking better on a fucking Xbox. You know?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Kuel says Colin Moriarty. Colin was crying that Sony wasn't doing this because of Xbox. He's full of shit. They're absolutely doing this because of Xbox and Steam Machine. You know? You can bet on that. It's one of these fucking reports that's like paywall gated or whatever. So I don't know how much of this shit I could even read. Google, why are you fucking up right now, bro? I'm trying to open up the fucking link. This shit won't work. Anyway, Carlos, what are your thoughts while I try to open this shit up?
Yeah, I think it's complete bullshit. It's they're not with that Colin statement. They're definitely doing it because they don't want the competition to have their games. They're seeing this point where, you know, the sales on PC are not significant enough for them to carry on with this. And because if it was for that, then they just released their multiplayer games on. Only exclusively on PlayStation. Why are they doing their multiplayer games on everything? It's because they sell freaking well on PC. If most of the sales on Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 1 were on the PC, you sure as hell will believe they'll keep it on the PC. So yeah, they're doing it because they don't want the competition to have that. Microsoft is releasing the next Xbox and it's going to be able to play the PC games and Steam games. And that includes PlayStation.
Yeah.
And on my PC. So, yeah, that's the reason why they're doing it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to read this off of Engadget since, you know, Bloomberg's. Who wants to pay for that shit anyway? Sony is pulling a U-turn on its multi-platform strategy, with Bloomberg's Jason Schreier reporting that first-party PS5 games soon to become exclusive once again at the expense of PC players. Oh, no! Sony started releasing some of its biggest games on PC in 2020 when Horizon Zero Dawn came to Steam. A number of other titles have followed suit since then, including Last of Us Part 1, Ghost of Tsushima, God of War Ragnarok, and Marvel's Spider-Man. But the company appears to have had a major change of heart with high-profile titles like Ghost of Yote and the upcoming Sorrow set to launch only on PS5. Also, Jason Schreier reported that Wolverine, that shit ain't coming to PC either, you know? Schreier was told by anonymous sources that Sony published online games like Marvel Tokon and the Imminent Marathon, which came out today, we'll talk about it in a bit, will, because this report is from a couple of days ago, will remain multi-platform releases as planned. And Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding 2, which launched last year as a PS5 exclusive, is still set for a PC later this year. But while Sony could always change its mind again, it looks unlikely that the tentpole single-player epics that PlayStation has become known for since the PS4 era will receive PC ports going forward. Like I said, to me, this is a smart strategy. As a matter of fact, it's a kind of a toe dip too, right? You got one toe. You got one toe, but it's two toe dips, right? You got one toe over here with the single player, and you got the other one over here with the PC, you know?
I will also say to you that despite Death Stranding, you do realize that also Kojima does own the Death Stranding franchise. It's no longer a PlayStation franchise, yeah. So that's why. And also, I'm sure, if you look at who's publishing the PC version, it's either going to be Kojima Productions or it's going to be 505 Games.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that game is a special case. It's not a Sony studio that made that, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like Final Fantasy, right? It was released exclusively on PlayStation, but it's not a PlayStation game per se, you know? And speaking about that, Square Enix said moving forward, multi-plat all the way for them. You know, which I think, yeah. I'm glad you bring this up, Manny. Or rather, you made me think. You can't have a one hat fits, you know, what it was, a one size fits all strategy for every company, right? For Sony, it's better to be like, hey, we're going to have single player here, we're going to have multiplayer here. But for a company like Square Enix, it's better to just have it everywhere, you know? You can't, like, judge everything on the same ground there. But yeah, I think I know some people that were very upset about this. But listen, man, what makes a console at the end of the day, right? Exclusives.
Listen.
Nintendo. Do I need to say anything more? Nintendo, yeah. Bro. Look how well they're doing. Exclusives. Why has Xbox lost its way? Lack of exclusives, right? Sony doesn't want to fuck that up. They don't want to fuck with their bread, you know? So this makes sense to me. You know, again, I know some people are upset, but buy a PlayStation. How about that? I'm being an asshole. But yeah, what do the rest of you guys think about this?
I mean,
yeah, I mean, it,
okay,
go ahead.
No, Carlos, you go
no,
first.
No, we're, yeah, go, Carl.
Yeah, it's a, you know, and something that I mentioned every time we had those conversations when Microsoft bought Activision, I'm like, yo, keep it, you know, exclusive. Fucking keep it exclusive. That's the move. That's, you know, I know it's risky. I know, you know, it won't sell as well, but at least your platform will become the platform.
Yep.
And they didn't do that. And to be honest, you know, hindsight, it was the right move to make him, to keep a multi-platform, because Call of Duty is going the way of the dodo.
Yep.
Because that it doesn't hold as much weight as it used to. And it makes sense. It's been, you know, more than a decade of dominance. But yeah, for PlayStation, that's all they got. They don't got the Microsoft infrastructure. They don't got anything. I mean, they don't have diversification on the way they make money as well as Microsoft does. It's PlayStation. It's, yeah, PlayStation or nothing, or we go down with a ship. So they, you know, it's smart for them to make their brand as exclusive as possible and make it as, you know, make their fans and make everyone else want to buy PlayStations. So yeah, I think it's the right move.
Yeah. Manny, go ahead.
No, I mean, I agree with Carlos said it all right there. I agree.
All right. Brian, I want to get your thoughts as a resident PC guy.
I can see why they did that. Again, the numbers don't make much sense. Like I was looking at the concurrent player counts for the recent games, and it's all easily under 100,000. So that's like Ragnarok, Spider-Man 2, and there was another one I don't remember. So it seems like the initial games did like high concurrent player count, and then the ones after, Horizon 2, that was it. They all seem to do quite well, but then the more recent ones that they came out on PC aren't beating the previous games. So I would imagine that translates to lower sales for the sequels on PC. So I can see them not wanting to put more games on PC because, again, it's probably not financially viable. But this was always the risk when you release a game, year and a half, 2 years after initial launch? Like, you won't have that hype. So it will always be less to some degree. But I didn't expect it to be this bad. So yeah, I can see that. But again, the thing that gets me is it's just funny how they're saying that the same month where you have Capcom saying, yeah, like 50% of our games are on PC, so hence we're going to make that like our focus now. And then also you have Shift Up saying that, yeah, Sony wanted, like, no, sorry. You have Shift Up saying that their next game, they won't be published by Sony, so they're showing that they're moving away. And also Crimson Desert saying that Sony wants to make their game like a first party, like a time exclusive, and they said no. So it's almost like Sony's closing ranks, whereas all other companies that we know of so far are saying, yeah, let's expand our vision. So it's, again, just funny timing. If that happened any other day of the week when there wasn't that news, it'd be like, okay, just news. But just, again, it's news given this light, which I think is funny. So yeah, let's see what happens. Again, I'm weirdly okay with not getting Wolverine on. Again, I have a PS5, so obviously not fussed. Yeah. But I'm weirdly okay with Wolverine not being on PC, because if the leaks are true with how certain characters are looking, I am certain that there'll be drama.
Yeah, I agree with that. Rich, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, first and foremost, Brian made a very interesting comment about Crimson Desert. I will have something to say about that game in the future, and I'm just going to leave it right there.
I will too, by the way. We can't say that, at least.
Well, I will too.
You will.
And so why?
Yep.
Yes. Absolutely. So, but to answer your question, I actually don't think this is a bad idea for Sony. The PlayStation exclusives will give you a reason to want to play your PlayStation 5. A lot of people I know, they have moved over to PC because they saw, well, this game is eventually coming to PC, so why do I need to stay on my PlayStation 5? So I think this is a good strategy. However, I also would like to say this. I want to see how this story develops, because one of our very good friends is saying that this is not correct.
Uh-oh.
And that they have a video that they are going to be putting out after GDC to basically say that what they're saying is incorrect and that PlayStation is still going to be going all in on PC. So I don't know about that. I don't know about that 100%, but I think, to me, this is perfect for the games to be on PlayStation, because it will give people a reason to play on PlayStation 5. So I don't have an issue with it, but I know some people are very salty who have PC and can't play Wolverine on PC. They're very salty. So, hey, get a PS5. As simple as that.
Oh, man. I will say this, man. I want to give a quick shout out to, the Discord crew. Those guys were practically throwing a party, you know? Oh, exclusives are back on the menu, boys. Oh, man. Shout out to Brett. What's going on, dude?
What up, people? I'm just getting home from work.
All right. What's good up, stuff. Brett? Brett, what are your thoughts on PlayStation deciding that their single-player games will remain on console only, and they'll only put multiplayer games on PC and other platforms?
I mean, it's fucking stupid.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because everybody else in the room thought it's a good idea. So this is good that we get the contrarian view.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Like, let me get this straight. So you're going to cross the line, try and make as much fucking money as possible, and now you're just going to try and shove the genie back in the bottle and think that we're all not going to notice that it's obviously for fucking money purposes? Like, you're just going to kill your competition and then bring back exclusivity and try and act like it's for us? Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, it's not really that, you know, because I don't know how much you heard of it. Basically, their PC games don't sell that much. You know, that's what's happening. And the reason I said is because they don't release them day and date. You know, like Spider-Man 2 sold 15 million copies on PlayStation, and then on PC it sold 700,000. So that's
that's what I mean. It's that fucking Toad it bullshit again. Like, they're just like, look, they're like, hey, we're gonna do away with the idea of exclusives. Sony's exclusives, right? Like, we want to make more money. Oh, what's that? We're not actually selling that many, and it's hurting our brand. Okay, well, we're doing exclusives because exclusives are where it's fucking at, guys. I mean, come on, really? Yeah.
I do agree with that. I think you need exclusives. Nintendo does exclusives. Sony should have exclusives too. You know,
for what? For fucking what? Why? Why? Where the console war is fucking dead. They've won. It's a monopoly. Why? What is the point? We have now we've crossed the threshold where exclusives do fucking jack anything for the consumers. And now we want to bring it back?
I don't know. Like, Spider-Man sold a lot. I just said literally 15 million. That's a lot. there's a reason to keep things exclusive, you know?
No. Okay, so what is it? What's the reason to keep shit exclusive at this point? Because we got a whole panel in here. What?
To make more money.
Okay. Beyond that?
What else is there beyond that?
Well, there was the theory that I had.
Which is?
Which was the fact that, you know, they don't want to release on their game on arguably a stronger looking console or whatever, because, you know, the current Xbox is supposedly able to play not only Xbox games but also PC games.
Yeah, Brett, I don't know if you saw that news of Project Helix, because my personal theory is that since the new Xbox is going to be able to play PC games, Sony's like, we don't want our competition having better looking, our exclusives look better on their shit. We're killing this shit right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I get when you're saying, like, yeah, it's a company. Yeah, like, their whole goal is to make money. They're a business. I understand that. But here's my counter argument. I'm a business, too. And I don't do everything I can do to minimize my cost, maximize my profit, and fuck over my own customer base. No, I'm not a multi-million dollar
company. You're not a corporation, bro. You're not beholden to shareholders, you know?
And therein, I think, kind of lies the problem. So, like, and I know that we're legally obligated to do whatever we can to maximize profit for shareholders. So, like, at this point, like, are we even, like, entertaining the idea that quality should be part of the discussion at all? Or is it just how much money it can make? And at that point, are we still video game fans, or are we just shills for Sony at that point? Because if I'm sitting here just sitting in the stands cheering for the shareholders of Sony to make more money, that's kind of a stupid fucking thing to be doing, and I shouldn't be a fan of any fandom at all with that kind of level of retardation.
I agree with that. It's just irresponsible. Yeah, no, I agree with that, but, like, you know, coming at it from a fan standpoint, I want to know if I buy a system that it's going to have games that can't be played on other systems, because if that's the case, why am I buying the system? You know,
but see, and that is the thing that I think gets me. And not because it's necessarily wrong or it's malicious, but it is faulty logic, right? Like, you are paying for somebody else not to have something at that point. You're not even paying to get the good stuff yourself. You are literally, or you just said you want to make sure that if you buy a game that other people don't have it on their system.
I didn't say that. I said if I buy a system, I want to ensure that it has games that are not available anywhere else. I never said I don't want other people to get them. That's a different thing.
And how does that improve your experience by them not having those games?
Because I know that the system I'm not worried about other fucking people. I know that the system I got has things that other systems don't. That's why I bought it. This is why we had fucking Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, man. Or did you forget about those days? You know?
No, like, that's how shit was. Yeah, because those days they made games as good as possible, sometimes taking a loss on them to improve their brand recognition. Sony ain't doing that shit no more. It used to be exclusives raised the quality of games. Do you actually think that's still happening?
Not nowadays.
Okay, so all that we're doing not lowering is taking them either, options away. All we're doing is taking options away and doing brand management at this point. You're not getting a better product because it's not on another system. All you're getting is something more exclusive. And that's why I say it's not you sitting there intentionally being like, this is better because other people don't have it. But that is that they walk you there slowly and they walk you there backwards, but that's where you end up, right? Like, that's all this is. Oh, they don't have it, right? Why the fuck should I care if somebody else doesn't have something? What I should be concerned about is if them not having something is driving you to put out a better product. We all fucking know that it's not. That's why I'm kind of pissy about this whole thing. I'm like, okay, cool. So, like, we're just going to take away any incentive to actually have to deliver a better product and then go back to exclusivity? Like, when it's worse for customers? Like, it just seems stupid. And, like, this coming from, like, a fandom that used to talk about, like, our rights as customers and care about that. Now we're just like, whatever, as long as I'm the one getting the exclusive stuff. And, like, again, if this were like a, hey, we're competing with literally anybody to make literally anything and putting more money or anything into this, but that's not what this is. It's not where we're at. And, like, if anybody has any argument as to why we could possibly still be at that phase and want to breathe any shred of hope back into me, please tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. I don't entirely agree, but I see what you're saying. All right.
So I want you to know, I don't agree with what I'm saying forwards. Like, when I say, like, hey, this is just about other people not having games. Like, I don't necessarily agree with that statement itself. What I agree with is you're putting me in a position where the only thing that I have to cheer for is other people's lack. You're not giving me more. You're giving them less and asking me to throw a fucking party for it.
Yeah, definitely an interesting way of seeing it. I just don't see it that way. But I see where you're coming from. You know, but it is an interesting way of viewing the world, you know, but I like, if you want to be really cynical about it, that is what you're doing. You're just denying other people games. But again, maybe
I'm trying to look at it from like this isn't a fresh start, right? Like, I'm not coming back into video game as an environment that has never happened or exclusives as a brand new concept, right? Like, we are moving forward from a place that we used to be into a place that is objectively worse. And that may be a cynical way to look at it, but I'm like, I don't see it that way. I see it as right-left progressive, but a progressive chronological viewpoint of, like, this is how things have shifted, and this is where they are going, and it is a trend downwards. So, and yeah, I mean, maybe this word's all going to trend downwards completely, but I don't see that in all sectors, and that's why I get all nerdy about, like, you know, some indie stuff, because, like, some of that stuff does trend upwards, and new ideas do happen, but, you know, you're not seeing big companies like this gonna give a shit about you as a customer at all. But there are companies that do give a shit about you as a customer. That's the thing that pisses me off. And we kind of roll over that like, oh, it's a company, you know, just trying to make money. There are studios, there are creators care about what their customers think. They give them free shit. They give them Easter eggs. Remember those? Remember when you used to get, like, fucking booklets and shit? Like, you can take pride in your work and make money. All right, I'm done with my rant.
Yeah, I like it, man. All right, let's move on. On the other end, you know, we hinted at this. Actually, we didn't hint at it. We flat out said, but let's go fuller into it. Capcom, on the other hand, does not believe in exclusives. They have their games on all platforms, and now they say over 50% of their game sales are from PC. That's pretty remarkable stuff, you know? And I think that accounts for what happened when we saw Resident Evil Requiem. We're going to talk about it in a bit, because that game sold like crazy, you know? But like I said, not every company has a one size fits all thing. For Capcom, it makes sense. Put our shit out on everything day one, and they're reaping the benefits. And it's also remarkable because, remember, it wasn't that long ago where if you had a Japanese company putting out a PC port, it was going to be shit. Capcom has bucked that trend, you know, because I haven't heard anything bad about the PC version of Resident Evil, you know. Capcom, nope. Monster Hunter, that's a different story, but Resident Evil, I mean, you know.
It's a weird thing because that Monster Hunter game feels like an old game. Like, in other words, it has a lot of issues that an older game would have.
Like what?
It's a weird one. I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem nearly as polished as, let's say, a Resident Evil or even some of the other stuff they've been putting out. It's a weird, it may just have to be with just the way that team works. It's like, you see like low resolution textures and all kinds of, you know, stuff that like this game doesn't seem up to, you know, up to snuff, you know,
it feels in comparison. I gotta agree.
Yeah. But the thing is like Monster Hunter World is older and that doesn't feel dated. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a weird one. Cause
I see what you guys are saying. I see what you're saying.
Like you look at that game, like you're like, okay, it looks good. But then you look at it and you're like, it doesn't have that same sort of polish as like, let's say some of the other titles that they did. But then again, all the other ones are probably smaller affairs.
I was just about to ask you that. Do you think it's because of the open world nature? I think it has to be.
It might be. I definitely think it might be the open world nature of that game.
Yeah. I think it's a secular team. Like we all know that's like the Monster Hunter team at Capcom works kind of independently.
It does. Yeah.
And honestly, I'm going to say, I'm just going to spit some hot truth here. From Software, my absolute favorite game development studio, kind of does the same thing, right? They're kind of hardcore. They feel a little dated. They kind of stick to what they know works. And they lean more on art direction than cutting edge graphics. And you know what? It fucking works. It works. And I think that Japanese games, sometimes they just stick to the treads that have worked. And it continues to work. I even think the very premise and architecture of Monster Hunter is dated. But I don't necessarily think that's a deal breaker or a bad thing. I just think it's kind of, it shows its evolution and its age. The series in as a whole, right? Like we'll come to a day one time in the future where extraction shooters are a thing of the past and they feel dated. So I think it's kind of, but I do have to agree, Manny, it feels off, older, something.
Yeah. It feels off or older. It's a weird thing. Like it's almost like a port of an old game in a lot of ways. You know, obviously, you know, they couldn't do all those, that sort of larger environments in the older Monster Hunter games, but still, yeah.
Holy shit. Man, you just made me realize that Blue Point made Demon's Souls feel less dated than the newest Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Yo, man, get Blue
Point. God rest their souls.
Yeah, right. I was about to say, get Blue Point to fix Monster Hunter or Wilds, but too late for that.
There's a controversial part to Blue Point on that end.
Yeah, well, they're gone now
because of some information that came out that was confirmed.
Oh, yeah. Did we talk about it?
We didn't talk about it, but Miyazaki and From Software did not like the work that Blue Point did on that game.
Oh, and Demon's Souls.
We did talk
about that. Yeah, yeah,
yes.
I also want to point out, like, shocking how much those sales numbers differ when you don't wait a year to release the game, huh?
Yeah, right. I'm curious to see how much. Obviously, it's not one to one because Resident Evil Requiem sold 5 million copies. Does that mean 3.5 million were on PC? Who knows?
Maybe it's okay. Hold on,
it's two and a half million.
Thank you. That's a lot.
I'm saying two and a half million is half five. Five.
Okay. So. Remember, I'm a writer. I don't know math. You know,
that was math. Yeah,
and then like also the fact that it is somewhat of a return Resident Evil, or it's a little bit nostalgia-y.
Yeah, you know what? Since we already kind of slid into it, Resident Evil 9. Has sold 5 million copies in how many days? 5 days.
Right? 5 days, yeah.
And let me see if I can find this, because this is what really makes it interesting. The amount of time it took the other games to hit 5 million. Let me see if I can
find it. I was actually looking this up. Oh, my God.
What's up?
Thank you. I was trying to find this information as you were talking.
I found it. So check this out. Resident Evil, I'm going to do it in backwards order. Resident Evil 9... Actually, no. It's better the other way around. Resident Evil 7, it sold 5 million copies in 437 days. So over a year, right? Resident Evil 8 hit 5 billion copies in 174 days, maybe close to 4 months, right? Resident Evil 5 hit 5 billion in 5 days. That's insane.
Okay. It might be, but it also might be weird math. Because, like, here's the thing I'm noticing. 5 million is, I mean, I'm doing real broad math here because, again, creative, don't do math. That's roughly 5% of the market share. 5% of the PlayStations out there bought Resident Evil. And I'm kind of actually sitting here wondering.
Remember, that's on every console, PC, Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch too.
Oh, okay. I thought for some reason I thought it was on the PlayStation. That's honestly, that's not any better. I'm trying to sit here and find out, like, yes, those numbers are good, objectively good. I'm trying to figure out if this is more ubiquitous than it's been, because it honestly feels a little lackluster to me.
Finish your thought.
Back in the PS2 days, I would be shocked if a brand new Resident Evil game garnered less than 10% of the total population. Flat, period.
Yeah, but we could probably look that up. So you're telling me back in the day, if a game sold 5 billion, you would have been like, it's not a lot.
I am curious as to what percentage of the people that own the console that they're playing on. I'm curious about the adoption rate. I feel like the adoption rate has fallen, I guess, is probably the easiest way to say that.
And you think Resident Evil... Great. I'm confused by this. Like, are you actually? I may be attributing something negative to you, because it sounds to me like you're trying to find fault in Resident Evil's success, which is objectively a good thing here.
No. I think Resident Evil's that would be a very weird and personal take and attack on Resident Evil. No, this is very clinical. I'm kind of being like, I'm wondering if Resident Evil as a franchise is on the upswing or the downswing of the bell curve. Because this kind of feels like a return to form, which I would expect to have a very kind of high adoption rate. And if we're seeing a lower adoption rate than, say, the height of like Resident Evil 2, 3, Nemesis, right around there, then we're kind of seeing that the people who care about this game and the series are old heads like us, and it's not really so much picking up steam as it's dropping off. And like, that's objectively great. Like, here's the thing.
But it sold 5 million copies in 5 days compared to months and years. How is that a drop-off?
Well, how many people owned PlayStation? How many PlayStations were in the wild during that point?
I don't understand the point of this conversation. I'm confused. Well,
I have a question. So, Brett, what would your guess be that Resident Evil 2 sales would be? The original one?
I would guess Resident Evil 2 sales would account for more than 10% of the PlayStation units sold at that point.
I highly doubt that. Go ahead.
You think Carlos. So?
No, it sold 4.96 million copies on 100+ million selling console. That's less than 5%.
And just to make sure I'm comparing apples to apples here and oranges to oranges, that was the amount like that were out there in the wild, like when the game came out. We're not comparing end of generation numbers to beginning of generation numbers here, are we?
We're comparing lifetime sales of a game to 5 days of one another. So it's not even apples to apples there.
In 5 days, this outsold the RE4. So I don't see
RE2.
Yeah, RE2. Yeah. So again, I don't understand the point of this.
The point of asking questions?
No, the point of asking this specific question, because it's again, it seems to me like, let's tear this fucking game down. That's what it seems like to me, you know?
No, and I actually find it really interesting that you take it that way.
Well, how else could I take it? I'm like, what's the point of that? Like, what is the adoption rate of this game? Like, huh? Who cares? You know?
Because otherwise you're judging something's popularity without taking into account the fact that the thing that it's on has ballooned exponentially in the last 2 decades. Like, gaming is so much bigger now. Like, it's like when somebody fucking, like, every time a Hollywood movie is like, oh, this is the highest grossing movie in the last 20 years. Like, yeah, because movie tickets cost more, you fuck. You're not accounting for inflation. It's just bad math. I'm just kind of being here. I'm actually wondering, like, yeah, that's great. Those are good numbers. Honestly, I would have expected that number to be, my whole thought process was, I actually thought that number would have been higher. I wonder if it's just like, maybe like, it is 9 in the series. So like, maybe you're getting diminishing returns with each one, but it's kind of supposed to be a relaunch. So I kind of figured without a lot of competition, it would have blown up a little bit. That's all. I'm not talking shit.
Yeah, it sold 5 billion way faster than its two immediate predecessors. And I think it sold more than any game did. The game's been out for a week and it sold that much. You know, what other game has sold that much along with Resident Evil, you know, that came out this time?
Bro, like, Silk Song sold 11 or 7 million copies in December alone. I don't give a shit.
What was the adoption rate for that?
I don't know. How
you see what I mean? It's a silly thing to ask.
No, because it brings up a good point. Silksong sold more copies than Resident Evil. Does that mean Silksong is $20 better? Does that mean it's a more successful franchise than Resident Evil? No, it doesn't, because there's so many goddamn Steam accounts out there, right? And it's also $20. There's other factors. It's an important part. Like, I'm just asking questions. I'm finding it weird. Like, you get a little defensive, homie.
No, because I'm confused. So do you think moving forward, every time we discuss a game sales, we should also bring up the adoption rate?
I mean, we're talking about something that is 20 years old. Like, yeah, like if we're talking about a franchise that's 20 years old, yes, I think we should talk about its lifetime growth.
All right. And you're going to do all those numbers for us?
I mean, I'm going to do some loose numbers. I'm asking questions and doing some real loose math over here. And it sounds to be kind of actually right about the same. I mean, I'm not going to go in and be like, well, on the day that it was released, how many PlayStations were out there? Like, yeah, okay, that's lifetime sales, but it still sounds like it's hovering right around the 5%, 10-5% mark. And like, I'm just kind of assuming that back when PlayStation 2 was out, like, fuck, man, everybody played Resident Evil. Like, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe it didn't happen. Maybe it was just my crowd. Like, I don't know, man. I'm just asking questions. You'll know when I start making assumptions, because I will start stating facts.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing, like, you know, Resident Evil did get but, you know, after Resident Evil 6, there was a bit of a decompression of the franchise, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I'm trying to figure out what that's had. Like,
well, you know, after 7, we had a big rebound. Now, here's the thing, Brett, and I agree with Quell here. If you want to talk adoption rate, to me, makes more sense if we're talking about exclusives. Then I'm like, okay, there we go. But when it comes to adoption rate for a game that's on 4 platforms, it kind of seems weird. You know what I'm saying? But if we're talking about how many if this is a Xbox exclusive, PlayStation exclusive, what is the adoption rate? I think that's perfectly viable to ask for that, because we could actually get those
adoption numbers. Adoption rate is a very weird term. I just don't have a better one. Like, I'm trying to, like, ubiquitous is the best term I think I can come up with. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like is Resident Evil, like, on the upswing? Because is it, like, look at it this way, right?
The answer is yes, by the way.
Okay, that's the question I was at. That's what I was wanting to know, because I'm hoping yes. Jesus, yeah. I'm on your side here.
Yeah,
but I'm just confused. Need to be sides.
Yeah, but I think the adoption rate is what's getting to me, because I'm like, why the fuck are we talking about adoptions? We never talk about that. We've done this podcast since whatever fucking year. We've never talked about that unless it was an exclusive. You know?
Okay, then let me reframe it. After 20 years of fucking off their brand and digging their dick in the dirt, does Resident Evil still have the staying power to exist as a franchise? Or is this a last desperate dying grasp to reach out to its original audience one more fucking time before they abandon the bullshit that's inevitably going to cycle back into? I want to know, is Resident Evil relevant? And will it fucking stay relevant after that fucking abortion of a dumpster fire Netflix series that my ass had to sit through? Right? Like, I'm sick of wondering if Resident Evil it's fucking dead or not as a franchise, right? I'm just trying to figure out, are we picking up steam?
Rephrase.
I mean, the shit right back into the ground.
Hey, hello. I take offense to that. Is it a zombie of a franchise? Use the proper terminology here.
No, it's not a franchise. That was even fucking Frankenstein's monster. That was something just glued together with fucking stem cells and prayers and the fucking hope. Didn't even have any. That's the thing. To be a zombie, you have to at least have the shell of the original thing you were in, right? Not like the Resident Evil I saw on Netflix was like a Renaissance painting of a cat.
Yeah.
But
we're talking about the games here, and I could answer this for you, because it seems to me that you haven't been paying attention to the franchise ever since 2017, when the game, because Resident Evil 6 was a fucking disaster. That was absolutely terrible.
Dumpster fire.
But when they came back with RE7, where they basically just ripped off PT, right? The series came back on track. Then we had Resident Evil 2 remake, which, like, kind of set the standard for modern remakes. And every single game has just been selling better and better and better. So it's not that the 20-year thing is kind of wrong, because the franchise has actually been on track for the last 11 years, you know?
I was more comparing it to, like, we just got a remake of Resident Evil 2, which was made when?
That one came out like 2018, I want to say, because this is what they've done, Brett. Basically, they released a new game.
When did Resident Evil 2 come out, Tony?
98.
Okay, so that would be more than 20 years, right? So do you see where the connection, where I'm like, oh, we're remaking a game, and then the sequel to the game that is that remake, right? Like, that is the thematic connection right there, right? Like, we're picking back up on Leon's story. Leon's story started in 1998.
Yeah. See, now you're getting somewhere. Like, because I did ask this myself. I'm like, okay, the biggest game that's selling right now is for an old franchise. What does that say about the gaming industry? I think that's what you're probably trying to say. You just didn't do it right. You know?
I hadn't even gotten there yet. Like, I've just kind of been like, hey, like, this is, we're essentially calling back to an old franchise. We're essentially, this is a throwback to PlayStation 2, right? And when we can be as, you know, semantic as we want to about it, but like, vibe wise, that's what they're going for. That's what I'm feeling. That's what's intended. That's what's landing. So I'm just going to fucking go with the fact.
Yeah, half and half. Like, the first half of the game is very much Resident Evil 7, a first person view, scary, no weapons type of deal. You know, they're doing
very much more survival horror.
Yeah, basically, this game is combining both of the Resident Evil games that have been popular, basically RE7 and RE8, which are, you know, the very much survival horror, and then the remakes, which are all like action and shit. So this one combines them both, because those are the games that have been doing very well for the franchise since 2017.
So the best way to best way to sort of explain it is it's sort of like a catharsis against itself, or you know, that works against it, not works against it, but it works in tandem with itself. So in other words, you have one portion of it, which is a big portion of the game, where you're a character that's pretty powerless, who slowly has to, you know, be mindful of all the stuff that they have. They have to survive. And then you have a guy like Leon, who essentially just murders everything. So it's like,
And it works great.
Thank you.
And it works out pretty good.
Bringing up a highbrow art term without making me want to slap you in the teeth, because most people can't do that. That's not against you. That's most people that, like, anytime somebody says the word juxtaposition, I want to come out my chair at them. But like, no, you actually bring up a really good point. And that paints kind of the picture, I guess. If we're honing in on this, Tony, I guess what I'm kind of trying to wonder here and honing in on is like, is what I'm seeing an evolution and continuation of the thing that I knew when I was a young blood, or is it just kind of rehashed standard stuff? And it actually sounds like it's picking up steam. It's becoming more ubiquitous. It's becoming more well-known. It's learning from its mistakes. It's evolving, and it's kind of going back and picking up the thread to give people access to an old story and then continuing off that story, which is kind of the perfect intersection between like picking up new players and catering to your old ones. So all in all, it seems like Resident Evil is trending upwards.
Yes, it is.
Information I was looking for.
I mean, you could have just asked that instead of like all that other, because you were just throwing me off with that, bro, you know?
Huh? Let's gather my thoughts.
Fair enough. No, but Brett, in my review, I said the only negative thing I can say about this game, and it's not a negative, but it can be the only thing, is that this one does play it safe. Because Resident Evil 7, that was like, yo, we're doing something fucking different now, you know? But this one is like, hey, you like Resident Evil 7, you like Resident Evil 4, we give you this. It's like, oh, I love this, but you can switch your camera angle. So I guess that is something new for the franchise, but it is very much a quintessential Resident Evil experience that mixes the new and the old. Go ahead, Manny.
No, that's what you said.
Yeah.
You said what I say.
Faith that this game is going to be awesome. Like, I'm not worried about that. Like, that's
great.
I'm more, and I think that's maybe what the part that's missing is, like, I have such confidence in this being a success and like a genuinely good game that I'm just kind of taking that as assumed, and I'm more speculating on like market environments and like, how is this going to be received? How are the Youngbloods taking this? You know, like, I know this is kind of supposed to be a resurgence, like, for lack of a better, this is kind of like the second age of Resident Evil. And I think they led back into it with the remake, which was well received.
Yep.
You know, it's just kind of painting a general picture, and it's nice to see, because like, I'm an old school homie. Like, I love Resident Evil. I did tap out for a while there. I'm not that much of a homie.
Yeah.
Nope.
Too scary.
7 was where,
you can say it was fucking frightening, bro.
Especially in VR.
You could say it, brother. I could only play that game 1 hour at a time in daylight. This shit is scary.
Oh, no. See, it's not that at all. Because here's the thing. I'm dead inside. Uh-oh. Nothing scares me anymore. And I don't say that in a way that's like, oh, that's funny. I mean, I don't feel fear the same way. And it's sad. It really fucking is. So, like, horror games, that's the reason I didn't play the Alien. I was like, I mean, yeah, maybe I'll get a little burst of cortisol, but, like, do I give a single shit? No. Am I able to be jump scared? No, not really. I have no idea what died inside of me, but apparently this is the way that I am now. So, like, it's not that. It was the Hills Have Eyes vibes, and I'm just like, eh, it just feels gross. I'm not.
By the way, what you just described is how I am with horror movies. I'm like, I'm not scared of this. Yeah, like, I can, the only thing that actually gets me scared are horror video games. Horror movies don't do anything for me. Like, especially ghost movies. I'm like, what the fuck is this horse shit? You know? So I understand.
The closest I get is actually Dark Souls. Like, the closest you'll ever see me get to, like, feeling scared in a game is, like, a Souls game. And I think that's the thing that gravitates me towards it. Because I'm like, what the fuck is that? Otherwise, it's just you're like, oh no, I don't have enough bullets. This is a pain in my dick.
Yeah. I still think the scariest game I ever played was Fallout 3. We're on PS3, when you could just lose your fucking save at any time. That was frightening. You know? Bro,
Eternal Darkness? That shit fucked with my head in the best way. Like, telling you the save file was corrupted, throwing a false title screen on in the middle of a boss fight, muting the TV in a way that I'm like, dude, your TV keeps going on mute. And then he's like, yeah. I'm like, wait, does your TV say mute in green? I thought it said it in red. He's like, oh shit, you're right. Like, that game fucked with you. And like, I have never felt so much fear than in the middle of the boss fight when it blue screened me. The game blue screened me and I shit out my stomach. And then it's like, psych, back to the boss fight, bitch.
Haven't
played it, play it.
And I saw my buddy Ralph play that before. It was a pretty crazy game. I do want to say this though. If this was Square Enix, they would have been, these sales are disappointing. Because you know how Square Enix is. Capcom, they're fucking celebrating. And I think they're rightfully so. Celebrating. So good on them. The game's fantastic, man. I gotta bring this up, man. Kid Smooth, what the fuck, bro? Oh man. Okay, I'm gonna try to be careful of spoilers here. So he tweets out, and this is about Resident Evil Requiem. So the Elite Soldiers mission is what will force me to quit RE Requiem. Dude, that's the easiest part of the game. They're just dudes. Shoot them and kill them. Oh man. I Kid Smooth is hilarious because one of his things is like he's just very, very bad at video games and people get enjoyment out of that. But I'm like, because there's literally a mission where you have to fight not zombies, not super, you're fighting regular human soldiers. That's the easiest part of the game because just shoot them. They're dead. You know, but they're human. Throw a smoke bomb, fuck them up. But, you know.
He's not meaning like in a narrative way?
No, he means the gameplay way.
Okay, David. You know what? I'm gonna take back that groan. I think that there is a place for people to watch people who are terrible at video games, as long as everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, and speaking about failures, that was a perfect segue there. Highguard is shutting down.
I can't believe it.
Hey, it lasted longer than Concord.
No, I can't believe, like, Jeff Keighley was so right. Like, it took me a week to be shocked at how bad they, like, he said it was only going to take 24 hours.
Yeah. What I find interesting, do you guys remember that article from PC Gamer? This was like a week or two ago. They were like, Highguard is not a flop. I want to know what that writer's saying now. It's a flop, motherfucker. They're shutting it down, you know? And we all knew they were shutting it down. And like I said before, I blame this squarely on Jeff Keighley for uplifting this game that shouldn't have been uplifted. If they would have shown the shit during the middle of the show and then they would have had that stealth drop, I'm not saying it would have been a success, but people would have been like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But since they were like, oh, this is the last game of the show, this is going to be crazy. Expectations high through the roof. And then Jeff Keighley, oh, you're going to be sorry in 48 hours. Yeah, con guard. So yeah, this game flippity flop. Remember the developers, we were saying, we don't need that much of a high player count to survive. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Fuck out of here with that bullshit. So again, another one of these fucking games as a service slop things is dead. And I think that's a good thing. You know, no one's going to mourn this shit. I'll tell you that. What about, go ahead.
I might be out of the loop here because I know I missed a couple of shows. Life's been hitting me hard, guys. I apologize. I'm not sure if I just sort of talked about this, but like, did we touch on Jeff Keighley probably possibly owning at least partial stakes in that game?
We talked about not only that, but Tencent funding this game and also Tencent being on the board for the Game Awards.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, yes. So I think what we're seeing here isn't like the failure of a game. I think they were trying to launch a new way to make a game. Like basically they're like, hey, you know, a way that we could get around a lot of this financial stake is like, what if we just give everybody that reports on the game a little ownership of the game so that, you know, it becomes kind of a Ponzi scheme where it's its own success, you know, pays everybody who puts into it. And I genuinely think like this was them kind of testing the waters of like, well, what if we just kind of like, you know, align everybody's motivations and just tell them what they want? I think that'll work. And I'm really happy it failed, but I'm also objectively a little horrified because I do feel like they were just trying to fucking sideline everybody and just strong arm the whole process and be like, look, if we could just control the entire funnel from Jeff Keighley's face to your mouth, we could just put whatever fucking games in there we want. Doesn't matter.
I think the thing about it is that people can tell when the gaslight is happening.
Yes.
You know, when people overly start saying you're going to like this, then people start to push back on that and be like, no, I don't know if I'm going to like that. I don't think I am going to like that.
You know what's funny about that, actually? I just read a study that was talking about, you know, talking about the context of Xennials, but like versus people our age. And how people our age
have... motherfucker.
Yep.
The reason I say this is because people don't like when I call myself that, but I am. I was born between 1977, 1983. That's the Xennial age.
But it's first up the Oregon Trail generation. It's much easier.
I like that. Yeah, that generation. It's a micro generation. But it's my generation, yeah. And I like it.
Yeah, same in there. My but generation. Like, Gen Z are going by Xennials now. It's fucking stupid. So just like let them have their little retarded party and just go with Oregon Trail. It's a cool name.
Thank you for telling me that. Because I didn't know that. They're calling themselves Xennials. I'm sorry, but you motherfuckers. That's our label.
Anyway. Dude, they steal everything. That's their whole thing. Yeah, like, they just rediscover, just discover everything. Like, you can literally hand them Mark Twain, and they'll be like, bro, you guys should see this book. I could find, I just found this book on Mark Twain. Like, bro. Like,
you know what? I'll stop because I could go off on a rant about Gen Z. But go on, man.
So they were saying, like, people of our age, like, we grew up with games that made you... They forced a failure state on you, and that forcing of a failure state made you step back, reflect,
yes,
and kind of like judge. It enticed critical thinking, and I can't help but realize that every other form of media has been overtaken by idiocy, but the one that accidentally trained us to think and question things is having a whole hell of a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Although I don't know if it's the same study, but I did see that how basically. Like the games we grew up with, they did teach us all that. But then the games that the kids are growing up with now, they're easy because they tell them where to go, what to do.
Yep. Yeah. Same study. Yeah. But like, it doesn't, there's no like, they auto save, like, there's no resilience. Yeah. There is no, oops, you failed. Start the game over, bitch. There's none of that.
That doesn't exist.
And so, like, they can just kind of like keep floating forward and fail upwards. But where I think it's relevant is, like, if you look at how the video game industry has fought back against gaslighting, it's just kind of ironic that the video games themselves are the thing that taught us to recognize said gaslighting and critically think to begin with.
That's a good point. The hell were you going to talk? I'm just thinking about fucking millennials now or Xennials, whatever the fuck they would call themselves now. These are the same people that invented... quote unquote silent walking. Do you want to take a guess what silent walking is, Brett?
I feel like my brain is an Ouroboros of stupid right now. Is it just walking without making noise?
No, it's actually stupider than that.
Oh god.
It's how? It's going outside without AirPods or earbuds in and just walking. The same thing we've been fucking doing for 100,000 years.
Oh my god.
They discovered this. They also call it another one called silent showering. Yes,
I mean I'm like dibs when I shower. Fuck you.
These are people, Brett. I'm going to go off on a rant. It's not about video games right now. This is why people who aren't constantly looking at their fucking phones are terrified when they have to sit with their own thoughts because they're not used to that. You know, like it's just constant stimulation every minute of every day. And when they're alone with their thoughts, they're fucking terrified because they don't know what to think. And because they may discover they're either fucking assholes or have no personality. So you know what I say? Put the fucking phone down, stare out a window and think about shit. It'll do you world good. You know, I've been doing a lot more of that lately, man. I had a dentist appointment the other day. I could have easily scrolled my phone. You know what I did? I sat there for 20 fucking minutes just thinking, you know? Like, do more of that.
Oh, yeah. That's still a fraction of what they did back in the days when they had fucking candles.
Yeah.
Like, don't even get me started. Like, the amount of self-reflection people from, like, the 1700s did. Like, that's just fucking crazy. I was going to say something, man. Lost again. Oh, well, wasn't that important, I guess.
Yeah.
Just wait until they discover this cool thing that they're going to call hydration fluid.
Gamer sense.
Oh, man. Oh, you mean this shit?
I have to share the story before I forget. Go ahead, bro. I legitimately sat there in absolute bewilderment as I heard a Gen Z person asking a Gen X person, I guess they just fucking discovered Goonies? And they're like, but like, y'all didn't like just like ride bikes around all day for real, did you? And the guy was like, yeah. I'd be like, no, we did. We got on our, like, we didn't ride a bike for 8 hours straight. You went into the woods and played with firecrackers or porno mags or something like that. And every once in a while, you came across a group of other kids who were bigger than you and meaner than you, and you had to figure out what to do about that.
And found a dead body in the woods.
If it was the weekend, you would wake up, have your breakfast, watch some cartoons, go outside, come back for lunch, go back outside, come back for dinner. Your parents will tell you, get the fuck out of the house. Don't come back until it's dark out. But nowadays, you know, these fucking kids that were just coddled, you know, they had helicopter parents and shit, you know, like they weren't like us. We were just told, go outside. Don't stay fucking home all day. Stop watching TV. Stop playing games. Go outside, do something. And I was like, oh, you can't go outside. What if there's murderers out there? You know?
But that's the point. That shit was like fucking Pokemon. You'd be walking through the tall grass and somebody leap out and kick your ass. We have to deal with conflict, motherfucker.
Yes. Oh, man.
There's a movie called, if you guys never heard of it, called Kenny and Co., right? And it's probably the best movie about childhood. Literally, like, all the shit that kids would probably deal with at the time. It's not, like, even sugar-coated.
Yeah, we dealt with a lot of shit, you know? But now, like, again, but it's not now. It's been, like, for the last 20 fucking years, probably longer than that, where parents just coddle their kids. They don't let them go outside anymore. They're afraid of what will happen. You don't think we're actually safer now, you know?
The way we grow up is called nowadays free-range children.
Free, my God! I think it's called a visit from CPS.
Here's the thing. I've heard that term. That's what it's for. Why? You mean regular fucking kids?
Free range children is essentially
like chickens,
you know, kids that are just allowed to essentially, you know, go outside and do all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
And not have parental supervision. That was most of our childhood.
Yes.
A lot of our childhood.
Dude, I think the conversation I heard, they're like, I think the kid even asked, like, wasn't that dangerous? The guy was like, yeah, I rolled a four-wheeler over on myself. I broke my arm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I could tell you stories, man. The amount of shit. I still got scars when I was a fucking kid, bro. It happens. Anyway, video game show, let's move on because we got one more story. Has anybody played Marathon? Because the game is actually out.
I hear, is it free? I don't know. I can't remember.
In general, like, yeah, in the room, and I don't think any. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Brett, you've been playing Marathon. I don't know.
I didn't do anything to you.
But yeah, I just find it interesting that, you know, this game dropped today. I don't hear shit. It could just be
me.
Could just be my feed. But I don't hear shit. I hear motherfuckers talking about the Xbox, literally just a logo over this game, mm-hmm. you know?
Bro, yeah, I don't even care if it's more than a logo. If you're getting outshined by Xbox, you're doing something wrong.
Shit. Damn. Oh shit!
I feel like people. I feel like more people are talking about the Capcom Spotlight than people than talking about Marathon.
Oh, we forgot to talk about that. You know what? Fuck Marathon. We don't care about that anymore. Manny, what happened? Go ahead. Okay. Actually, if you guys want to talk about Marathon, we can talk about it. Go ahead, Brian.
Oh no, No one wants to talk about that game. when you said who's played Marathon, I was tempted to jump in and say, looking at the numbers on Steam, no one's played Marathon.
Damn! See, this is what happens when you tie yourself to a concept like AI that nobody wants to touch with a 10-foot pole. Not only do people not want to enjoy your product, they don't even want to talk about it because it harshes the vibe.
Well, in this one, it was worse because they were stealing fucking art from a specific artist, you know?
Yes.
It's like...
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, like, there's that, but I feel like that's a nuanced conversation. I feel like as soon as you say AI was used in this, we were like, well, I'm done, and just check the fuck out.
I mean, that happens too, you know, which, fine. But yeah, it's actually, no, seriously, is there anything meaningful we could say about Marathon?
I don't know. I don't know anything. And to be honest, I feel like there's no real interest in it. So
yeah,
if it helps, Ninja quit has decided to quit the game.
Oh, Ninja quit! Oh shit!
Yeah,
that's something.
Well, you know, he's just like, yeah, I've had enough. Like, come on, guys! Like, they really should have just remade Marathon, like the original Marathon.
Yeah.
Instead of doing this stuff, because all it is Marathon in name only.
Why do they keep doing it? Do they not understand that you can't just call something something else? And do they think that we're that dumb?
Yes.
I think it's like they're trying to play on the fact that it's pretty much a forgotten franchise at this point in time. But there's still people that remember.
So why
you can't get away with a whole a reboot without people knowing what the hell that was.
Why even reboot it? Like, why reboot? Why lean on nostalgia for a franchise nobody fucking remembers?
That's right.
Yeah, I think it's like we have a game. We have a game. Okay, we have a game. What do we call it? Well, we could just reuse that old franchise that we haven't put out on consoles in years. What?
They just put the name out of a bowl.
Yeah.
I think it's one of these things. This is for Hollywood. But I think it might apply to video games too. Basically, if you're an executive and you come up with an idea, if you try to come up with an original idea and it flops, you get blamed. But if you say, hey, this is an established IP, let's use that. If it fails, you could just say, oh, not my fault. No one cared about the IP. I think the same thing is happening with video games too. They pick these franchises, even if only two people have heard of it, they can at least say, hey, no one cared about this. It's not my fault. You know, I think that's what's happening here.
Well, that is a failure in upper management, as I have often said before. Yeah, like,
never it disagree sounds with like you.
The problem is that fucking meeting.
Yeah, never disagree with you on that.
And not to mention, you know, Bungie is notorious for having awful management. Going all the way back, you know, to was it the Bungie magic or whatever that they had? They had the same sort of ideas in their head, of, you know, as a certain other company. So, yeah. So what do they got?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think this game is going to be the next Concordian game. I think it'll
Concord.
Last.
Are you thinking it's Concord 3?
I think so. It'll probably last longer just because of the name recognition of Bungie, not Marathon of Bungie. But I think that's wild. I mean, obviously, I don't care about Ninja, but the fact that a big streamer like that has already dropped the game kind of says a lot, you know?
You know what's crazy about this to me? Because we've seen this happen twice now. It's like, oh, here comes the next big fucking game. And it fails in a fucking week. I have seen early access games come online with little more than placeholder art, an idea, and a fucking dream. And they listen with their ears and read comments with their eyes from their fucking community. And they follow what the community does. And get this, it gets weird. Because people will then stay with the game as it develops. because they're liking where it's going, and that has a snowball effect of bringing it into a game. And what happens is you end up with a fucking game you didn't expect to ever begin to fucking make because you don't know what game your audience wants, but you at least have the good sense to fucking listen to them once. I swear to God, stop making games by committee and start making them by fucking straw poll, and you will have better results. Just fucking ask a gamer. Oh my fucking God.
But no, Brett, they know better than us.
Yeah, they do.
And that's okay, I'm going to bring up Grounded here. Grounded is a great example, right? The Grounded that started and the Grounded that released were not the same. And that was hugely because of the early adopters. Baldur's Gate. All of those character models were not the original character models. You got the... Everybody in that game looked the way they did in that game because players like you had come before and went, Shadowheart looks fucking weird. And that's why you have good Shadowheart. Like, it's... And I just get mad. You can hear it in my voice. I just get mad because not only studios, but gamers themselves shit on the very idea of this early access, even though it's produced some of the best fucking games we've seen in a fucking decade. And I don't know why. Why can we all just... Why do we want to take the players away from the power away from the players? Like, even us players, like, why do we want to do that? Because I could be sitting here and be like, they clearly don't know, but we know, but we don't. And that's what's making me mad. Like, why don't we know? Again, I'm just thinking out loud, I'm yelling at clouds, but like, it continually amazes me that everybody bets the entire farm on a fart in a jar instead of just asking the customers what they want. And maybe it's just me because I work directly with my customers. Like, if I had to just look at people when they came in and come up with tattoos, I might have a success rate kind of like Ubisoft. But I don't. I ask them what they want. And I realize you can't design games for a customer, but you can design games for a customer base. FromSoft has been doing it, and I hear they're doing pretty well. In fact, I would say most companies that are doing pretty well are kind of listening to their fucking audience. Just do it. It's not that fucking hard, you morons.
Just do it.
Yep, just do it. I just want to throw out like some numbers, because again, numbers are always fun.
Yes.
So, just for some context, let's look at some other games. So, RE9, profile peak of 140,000 as like a baseline. Again, RE, big game. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I just seen Rainbow Six Siege. It's 25... peak count is 112,000.
Shit.
Jesus.
Wow.
I thought the game...
You want to play that Metal Gear.
Yeah, they get a big update with the Metal Gear crossover. So yeah, a lot of people are playing.
Fair enough. So Marathon peak 24-hour count. Yeah, granted, it's not been 24 hours yet, and it's not been the weekend, so there's still time change, is 88,000.
I mean, better than Concord, at least.
Better than Concord, but then going back to Brett's point, there's a game called Slay the Spire 2. Brett, have you heard of this game?
I'm sorry, I'm comforting my dogs. They are very distraught about how upset I am about this. Yeah. I didn't realize I was using the big voice. What?
There's a game called Slay the Spire 2. Have you come across it?
I have heard of that, yeah.
Yep. That has a peak 24-hour player count of 282,000.
Fuck.
Released the same day as Marathon. Oh, it's
again, obviously going, it's slaying the spire.
You know,
here's the weird thing. I'm pretty sure it's kind of like Slay the Spire 1.
Yeah, again, giving the gamers what they wanted, and it seems to be doing well. And it probably cost less than a tenth of Marathon, maybe less.
I mean,
yeah, it's
Silk Song, right? Another one, give the motherfuckers what they want.
But that's the thing, like, you don't have to, and I guess that's where I'm kind of coming from. I'm like, you don't have to guess what they want. And I think that's the thing, like, a lot of the companies aren't understanding. And there seems to be a pretty big divide between the companies that do and the companies that don't, because the companies that do understand it, they seem to, like, early access, like, anything we can get out to the players, we're going to. Like, that's free labor. They're going to give us free ideas. They have an incentive to see this, you know, succeed. They've already invested money into it. Like, it's kind of a no-brainer, but you see other people that's 100% against it, and they don't seem to realize, like, you know, you can just talk to your customer base, right? Like, you don't have to just wait for what Jeff Keighley says. You take straw polls, you can go to forums, you just fucking ask one of us. We do podcasts like this where we just yell into the air, and, like, you can, like, listen to that shit and maybe take that into consideration. or just do whatever the fuck you do and dip your balls in each other's mouths and, I don't know, read the tea leaves of the pubic hairs you fucking spit out of the executive table. That's the only thing that I can assume you guys are doing up there.
Funny. That, and also saying that the next game is Lightning in a Bottle, and everyone else will want to play that game.
Idiots. Yeah, go ahead. Keep saying that stuff. You know, you'll be successful one day. It's crazy. So yeah, there you go. Yeah, before we wrap up, Manny, anything cool from the Capcom thing?
I mean, to be honest, the Capcom thing was just a little bit more detail on a lot of the titles that are coming up. It is interesting to seeing how many titles that Capcom actually has coming out this year. First they did a little bit more. They obviously talked about Resident Evil. They didn't need to talk too much about that because the game is out there. It's on the Switch, which, you know, Pragmata, something interesting has happened with Pragmata. Mm. They got a release. They have their release date, which was April the 24th, but it was moved up.
Yeah, coming out earlier.
To April the 17th.
That's good.
So for all the consoles, it's going to be moved up. The only difference is the Switch version of Pragmata for Japan is staying the same date. It's still on the 24th.
Interesting.
So. It's weird, but it's for some reason it's just like that. The new Monster Hunter RPG, they showed a little bit more of that. Very nice looking game. You know, it's a turn-based RPG. It's not a, you know, like, I guess whatever amalgam thing that Monster Hunter normally is, you know, because you gain levels and all that stuff, but it's a turn-based RPG and you can ride on dragons. So that's cool. That one has a demo out that just came out, so I checked it out. So it's fun. It's you know, it's like you can obviously see that how much of the Monster Hunter like parts they're using in it. Like, in other words, like they run the same way. A lot of the animations are the same. You know,
that's funny.
But yeah, it's very much a turn-based RPG, and you know, you fly dragons around it. And I think the world is somewhat open, so you can do all kinds of fun stuff like that. That one's
just add. Sorry, I really love how. With like the stories game, it's like the other end of like the Monster Hunter games, where like stories, it's very much, oh yeah, we must live with the monsters and they become our friends and all sorts,
yeah,
and we train them. Whereas like in the mainline game, it's like it's there, it must die, and that's it.
Yeah, this one, the stories games are very much like, we use the monsters are our friends, they are our, you know, we live with them. I ride a Rathalos. That's great. You know, but yeah, so that one's coming out this year too. What was the other stuff? Oh, they showed a little bit more of Onimusha. You know, they got into a little bit more detail on it again. Like, they're releasing quite a bit of games this year. I can't remember what the date is on Onimusha, but it's coming and still looks good. I wouldn't say it was a disappointing show, but it was just a lot more of the same and just a little bit more detail on whatever was coming out, which is cool. Also, the Ubisoft thing. There was a Ubisoft thing this week, too. We got a confirmation that Assassin's Creed Black Flag is getting the remake. From what rumors have said, that it is using it's not just like the old ones. It's not just an HD remaster. It's actually supposed to be a full-on remake of it.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. The other thing, Assassin's Creed Unity, you know, the game that was the game of the last generation that could barely run on a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Well, that got a 60 FPS patch and, you know, all kinds of other bells and whistles on for the modern console. So that one's out there, too. And then they said that there's about six Assassin's Creed things that they're doing. So I guess Ubisoft is actually, you know, is doing some stuff. And also they did some work on Assassin's Creed Shadows. There's a little bit more adjustments they've done to the parkour and stuff. So, yeah, that's all that's going on.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, Capcom's doing good, man. You know,
yeah,
they're definitely back.
Yeah. Yeah, again, like they have a bunch of, you know, they have a bunch of redo franchises, you know, like, you know, tried and true, and then bringing back old franchises. Like, you know, we've heard Okami's coming in the future, which, you know, is being done by Hideki Kamiya.
Yeah.
You have Onimusha, and you have Resident Evils, you have Street Fighters, and then every so often they'll throw out something new, like, you know, Pragmata.
So, yeah.
Which, by the way, is a $60 game. It's not a $70 title.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, because, you know, I'm scrolling through Twitter, as I always do during the show, I will give Kid Smooth a little bit of leeway if he's actually talking about that one boss fight against that elite soldier. That one is tough. If he's talking about that, then I'll give him a little leeway. You know what I'm talking about.
If Carl, it's that one.
Yeah. I'll give him a little leeway. I'll give him a little. It took me a couple of tries, you know?
I'm like, what should I do with my life? That was probably the hardest boss battle that I had in the game.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it was tough. And I liked it, you know, because it was like, yo, I keep getting fucked up. So if he specifically, but he said soldiers. That's the thing. It's like maybe you type that S wrong, you know, because if you're talking about this fight, yeah, I got you, bro. Yeah, it's pretty tough. Man, I want to replay this game, man. It's so fucking good. And it's all, short. And it's short. That's the other beautiful thing about this fucking game. You could beat this shit in 10 hours, 10, 12 hours. I'm like, can we get more of this, please? We don't need fucking 100-hour fucking games. You know, just something I could beat in a weekend. I could move on with my life. You know, or replay again, you know? Oh, go ahead, Carlos.
Why not both?
What about both?
I want to replay this game, but I don't want to replay the first part of Graces because that shit is scary, man.
Yeah, but it's less scary now, you know, because you know what's happening.
It's less scary now because you got New Game Plus and you get to keep all your weapons.
Kind of.
That is true.
Yeah, kind of. You can't get to keep some stuff. Mostly with Leon, with Grace, not so much. You know, I think you keep some of her upgrades.
You keep her upgrades, so which is good.
Yeah, like the steady aim and stuff. So yeah, that is good. I want to go back and get all those coins, you know. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. By the way, I forgot to talk about this. Fucking Sony's trolling, man, because that report comes out about them not, you know, doing single-player PC games, and then they come out with a PC version of the DualSense controller, which is hilarious, you know? Which is also interesting because the DualSense is already compatible with PC.
I don't understand what they mean by how is it more compatible? It's already running it.
I honestly think they're just grifting you. It's the same fucking controller.
No. Yeah, no, I think that's what it is. I think it's the same stupid ass controller. They just decided to include the cable with it.
Yeah.
I never used the DualSense on PC, yeah, but neither have is there something funky with the rumble? I don't know what they call it on PlayStation.
That's a good point.
There's a specific signal that goes to those titles. But here's the thing. If you have games that support it, it works.
Yeah, it does. I played Spider-Man mm-hmm. 2 with mm-hmm. it, and it does work. The haptics.
The haptics and all that stuff work.
But it's like Manny said, the game has to support that specifically.
Yeah, so like when Hellblade came to PC and my PlayStation PC? 5, it got that on the menu. So you could turn on the haptics on the PlayStation for that one, you know, if you had a DualSense controller there.
Yeah. But yeah, generally speaking, I don't, when I'm playing on PC, I use an Xbox controller. That's what my mind just kind of puts it as, you know. Like when I'm playing on a different system, I like to use a different kind of controller, you know? All right, man. Let's start wrapping it up here. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend?
Yeah, first and foremost, shout out to Mr. Adam Vale in the TV terminal. They are still covering this Monarch show, Godzilla, Monsters, so on and so forth. So be sure to check that out because I think they just reviewed the next episode, which drops tomorrow. As for the Coalition, I actually posted a preview of Mouse PI for Hire earlier this evening. So I would encourage everybody to check that out if you're looking forward to the game. The preview was a lot of fun. So, April 16th can't come soon enough. And I'll be working on a couple of other things. I am going to GDC next week. So
that was my next.
Excuse me? Yeah, let's go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am going to GDC next week. There's a couple things that I will be seeing that I will be able to talk about in the future. Obviously, can't say too much now, but stay tuned.
Yeah, so is it true that you have an exclusive interview with Asha Sharma?
No, that's not true. Maybe Hip Hop Gamer does though, you know. Maybe it's Hip Hop Gamer.
Yeah.
Did he win his NAACP award?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Because I didn't see him on the stage with Michael B and
Rich, definitely looking forward to hearing your report from GDC. That should be pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right, Manny, what you got?
Blood and Thunder number 11. So we got one more issue after this, but yeah, this one is coming out, is out now. So yeah, if you are interested, it's at your local comic store, covered by Carter Randolph and myself. You can see,
yeah, it looks good,
cool cover. So yeah, that's out right now. And you know, this will probably let this go a little longer, but TMNT Battle Nexus number 5, which is also out on the streets right now, covered by Carter Randolph and myself. On the right side, I guess you would say, I'm doing the 2003 stuff, and then on the left side is the director of TMNT 2012. So it's a cool crossover cover. And I think I said before, if you haven't heard it, if you do miss out on the cover, it's all good because they put all the covers inside of it as well, without any of the cover, without any of the cover dressing. So good stuff, all out. Get it at your local comic book store or on whatever application you get your digital comics.
Man, I'm glad the camera stayed good that time. Everything came out nice and crisp, you know, because it's usually garbled mess. People can't see the beautiful covers, you know. Yeah. All right, man, we're done here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. Shout out to the Discord gang. As always, you guys were hilarious this week. You guys were hilarious. Oh, man. You know, exclusives are back on the menu, boys. That was you, Carlos. That was a good one. Motherfuckers were happy about them exclusives. We're also, and of course, you can find us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Stop pounding 2 months before I come on the show after my work.
Oh, shit. Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Mangioma.
Man, these Concord games keep coming out way too fast.
They keep coming out fast. They keep going away fast, too. Kind of interesting. All right, guys. We will see you on Sunday. Later.
Peace.
Laters.
Jesus.
And don't forget to set your clocks. Daylight savings times. Peace out.
Oh, God damn it.